This is White Spot Vancouver Giants this week on Sportsnet 650. And now, here's your host, Brooke Ward.
Oh, oh, oh. Hello, hockey fans, and welcome to another edition of White Spot Vancouver Giants this week on Sportsnet 650, the voice of your Vancouver Giants, the mighty 650. Sportsnet Radio, coast to coast, man. It's the big show. I'm Brooke Ward, brother Jake in the intro, little Jack the Giant, too. Thanks to both of them for being involved. And for you, to you, the loyal listener, for being involved as well. Coast to coast, they can't get enough of us in Ontario in particular. The Vancouver Giants are big in Ontario. Big, 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 big. I know they got their OHL teams there, but I just want to tell you, in Toronto, that's some of our highest audience. The highest numbers coming in. Google it. The highest numbers coming in come out of Ontario after British Columbia, of course. From coast to coast, from sea to sea. White Spot Vancouver Giants this week. Giants, a 1-1 weekend. Going to talk about that with Nathan Canner and Bill Wilms very shortly. Galen Patterson, assistant coach of the Giants, after their game on Saturday, 5-1 loss to Kamloops on what was 80s night at the LEC. A lot of 1980s music, 80s flavor. A lot of people in the crowd dressed up in 80s garb. And a lot of the workers, in fact, pretty well every worker there for the G-men were dressed in 80s garb. Sometimes you find a look. Like for me, in 1980s, I just found my look. You just keep that look. And so I really didn't. I just grabbed anything out of my wardrobe and it fit in perfectly. My parents, God bless them, I mean, their look was like 1950s. So by the end of the day, my mom was still, at the tender age when she left us at 99, she was still dressed up like a 1950s living room couch. That was her look. You know, you get that look and you hang on to it. Me, the 80s. Bill was roaring in the 80s. Nathan wasn't around in the 80s. And they're both going to be on the program very shortly, too. Giants, a 3-1 win over Spokane on Friday night at the LEC. That was the return of a couple of Vancouver Giants players who've left us not long ago in trades. Tyus Sparks among them, who scored one of the goals in the game on Friday night. In fact, he opened the scoring for Spokane. Merrick Howell also looked pretty good in Spokane colors. Giants 3-1 over Spokane. Chiefs outshot the Giants 20-1 in the first period. Giants do like to give up first period shots. But the Giants then came together, got a couple goals from Misha Volatoski, a 20-year-old that they picked up recently from Medicine Hat. He's got 14 on the year. And Joe Aginla, his first goal in Giant colors, his 12th. They both factored in the three-star selection in that hockey game. The first star, though, was goaltender Kelton Pine, 33 saves. Many of the spectacular variety. And he made 33 saves to get the win. Kelton, going into that game, or at least coming out of that game, still rocking after the weekend, a 900 save percentage. Another 20-year-old, Kelton Pine, a 900 save percentage for the Giants. 3-1 Giants over Spokane on Friday night. Saturday, Kamloops peppered pine with 23 shots. Peppered pine, one of my favorite dishes. Peppered pine with 23 shots in the first period and led 4-0 after one. En route to a 5-0 victory. G-men shut out on home ice on Saturday, but a 1-1 weekend. Adam Tittleback still on the shelf for the Giants with injury. He is due back soon, though, I believe. And the Giants are still missing their two best players, offensive and defensively, in Mathis Preston and in Ryan Lynn. And it looks like they're still on the shelf now. Got a couple weeks away anyway for those two. But that's hurting Vancouver, obviously. Because you get a guy like Mathis Preston, plays 25 minutes a night, most of it in the opponent's end. And then you get Ryan Lynn, he plays 30 minutes a night, most of it in the opponent's end. So getting the puck in and out of your own zone, that has been an issue for Vancouver, and that's why teams come in and tend to jump on the Giants, the game plan, jump on them early, pepper them with shots, see if you can get a couple of early goals, because at the moment with two offensive stars out of the Vancouver Giants lineup, it's going to be tough for Vancouver to score goals. Teams know that. get a couple early, and usually you could then try and shut the rest of Vancouver's lineup down. Spokane got out to the early lead on Friday, but again, Vancouver came back, played very steady after the first period and got the 3-1 win, and then Kamloops, the four goals in the first period Saturday, ouch, and the young group of Vancouver Giants were not able to overcome in the 5-0 loss. Coming up for the Giants, because I know you want to know what's in the schedule, they got three games in three nights. There's not a lot of rest, huh? Three games in three nights. They're hosting Penticton on Friday. They're at Kelowna on Saturday, where they'll face Ty Haliburton again. And then Monday, it's a long weekend. Family Day Monday next week. A 2 o'clock Monday game. Seattle in town. That means Cameron Schmidt is coming back. That'll be very interesting to see Schmidt in a visitor's jersey with Seattle. More on him coming up later in the program. Following the 5-0 loss on home ice, Galen Patterson, fine assistant coach of the Giants, he joined Bill Wilms, Justin Morissette in the banquet hall on the postgame show. Want to roll a little bit of that at you. It's a young team trying to figure out, you know, basically how to score goals, how to improve, how to get better every game, how not to have setbacks. And that's tough on a very young hockey club. So Galen Patterson, among other things, was talking about looking good one night and not so much the next, and how the team is trying to grow and mature and avoid things like that. Here's the assistant coach.
I think that's part of the youth that we have. It was a tough sledding there. You know, 8 games in a row is tough. And then you get that win, and guys, they take the message from that and the game plan on that and apply it, and we have success. And then we get into that tonight, and it's just kind of like, oh, we had some success, so let's try it a little bit differently, right? But we just got to keep the same game plan and stay dialed in on that, and we see it. Like, the players know, they see it. Like, when they play a certain way, a certain style, and you're not always going to have your A game, right? So sometimes you're going to have B, C games. You just have to adapt to that and play a bit of a different game.
You know, first thing I said, Galen, when we opened this post game, I said, I'd give anything for a track meet. I know coaches say, you know, we don't want to get in a track meet, but a team that just hasn't produced much in the goals-wise in the last however many games, I'd love to see a 9-5 game, 8-7 game. Is this team capable of playing a track meet?
I wouldn't like to see that for our goalies. I don't think that's something.
No, I'd like to see it for the team, for the skaters.
Yeah, no, I hear where you're coming from. I think that, we want to play fast. But playing fast and putting pucks in good spaces, you got to use the boards. You got to play in the mud a lot of times, right? It's not always the sexy play to the middle that's, opening the game up. It's a defender comes down on you and you make a smart play, like the boards is a sixth man out there, and you're playing with speed, so you place it to a good spot and someone picks it up, and then he does it again, and then you're in the zone and you're creating offense out of that. So I think, for us to create a lot of offense, we got to play a simpler game. Obviously, again, with the youth that we have, simplicity has got to be the way.
Speaking of that youth, we were just talking about him before you arrived at the table. He didn't score this evening, but certainly had your team's best looks to do so. It seemed like another strong game for Joe Ginla tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of – he's tenacious, right? He's young, too. It's his draft year. So much upside there. He's hungry to score. He's just, he's got that bite to him. He's another guy that I think that if he just simplifies a little bit, too, those opportunities will come more and more. And, he's going to bury a lot of them.
From a work ethic, I thought every time your fourth line, Pura, Morelli, and Polinchuk got out there, I thought they battled hard. They didn't play on their side of center. They were in the other team's zone.
I agree. I think that line's come a long way, and I think a big part of that is they're getting on the forecheck, and they're moving their feet, and they're being physical. That's how you get pucks back.
Crosby Matejczuk back in the lineup this evening, and every time there's a 15-year-old AP player, we kind of get excited about what the future of this team is going to look like a few seasons down the line. What are you liking from what you're seeing from Crosby right now?
Well, his offensive game is through the roof for a kid his age. He sees the ice very well. The speed is obviously different from where he's coming from. So I think that's an adjustment that he'll make. And of course he will. We just love to have him here, and great experience for him to get into those games. And overall, just, you know, he's got all the tools. It's the experience, the time that it's going to take, and he's going to be a huge part of this organization for sure.
I just talked about all the draft picks that are developing at a young age with this hockey club, and I mean, really, what you see on this ice, and if you can project and be patient 1 year down the road, there's a building block here. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and then obviously, Nat made those decisions, and we can all see it, and we're super, super excited about it. And it was an extremely tough break to lose a bunch of key guys. Not just two or three; it was five key guys. So we got a few guys back. We keep digging with everyone, and the guys that are getting more and more opportunity here. This is only going to make them better and stronger, right? So when we get those guys back, everyone kind of slots in a little bit differently. And, I wouldn't say that a 10-2 with a full, fresh Vancouver Giants young team is, we're capable of that.
Comment quickly about last night.
I think it was just, the first period wasn't great again, right? But the way we responded and the way everyone played a similar way, and it was getting pucks behind them, putting pucks into spaces where we can get to, and ultimately moving our feet and being physical.
Galen Patterson, assistant coach of the G-Men after the 5-0 loss on Saturday night to Kamloops, Bill Wilms, Justin Morissette in the mix there too. And yeah, as we talked about, young team trying to, it's a young team and you're trying to figure things out. You know that from your hockey days. When you were young, you're trying to figure things out. As you got older and you were playing with the older guys, and you were all in the kind of the same age group, you kind of figured it out. And when a new young guy would come in, often they were great, by the way. That always made me mad almost. When the young guy came in, reminds me of skiing years ago. I'd be out there falling down all the time. And then some 8-year-old would go, doing a cartwheel over top of me and planting, sticking the landing. I just, was not amused. Anyway, it's a young team of Vancouver Giants. They're growing pains and they need to get healthy too. That would help. As promised, Nathan Kanter is with us. He's your veteran play-by-play voice of the Vancouver Giants. Third year, right, Nathan?
Yes.
So you were the rookie, then you had the sophomore, and now you move into veteran status, I believe.
Yeah. How does that work? How does that work?
Sometimes there's a junior, and there's, you were in our world, in college world, I guess, they go juniors and sophomores and seniors,
yeah,
and yada,
that's
yada.
That's complicated.
And they kick them out.
I agree. Just, you're a rookie, and then you're not.
And then you're sophomore.
Then you're not.
You're a sophomore. Yeah. And then you were a veteran. If you last 3 years in our industry, that's a long time.
Yeah, that is. I hope I get a chance for a fourth.
Yeah, good luck on that one. There's a 3-year turnaround just before the bonuses kick in. And signing bonus in year four.
Yeah, right. Signing bonus.
Yeah. Signing bonus in year four for you. Yeah. Okay. We're making a change. Hey, buddy. Weekend. 1-1 weekend, though, for the G-Man.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
It was obviously great to get the win Friday. It'd been a long time coming. There's so many injuries, and I think getting a couple bodies back was huge for that. You got Volachowski, who had the game-tying goal, then the empty netter to ice it. He was great on Friday, and the 3-1 win over Spokane. You got Hartman back, just kind of, a veteran, to bring that word up again, veteran on the blue line, and he just solidifies things and pushes everyone into a bit of a more comfortable spot. Look, they still miss Lynn. They still miss Preston. They still miss Tittleback. We've talked a lot about a lack of offense, and it is right now, it is really hard to score goals for this team. And it's also it's also hard to defend. Like, this team is so, they got younger and then five injuries basically all at once. Like, that's really, really difficult. First periods do concern me. It was a bad first that they recovered from on Friday, and it was arguably a worse first period that they could not recover from on Saturday against a good Kamloops team. Kamloops can score. Like, Kamloops, I think, is one of the better teams in the West. They're not the Everett, or they're not the, in my mind, the Penticton, or even, I would put them up there with the Prince George, as the teams after Everett and Penticton, as far as the Western Conference goes. Like, if you look at the scores on the Kamloops Blazers, they have a leading scorer, JP Hurlburt. They have two other 30 goal scorers. You want to look at the offense that the Giants, at least on paper, that they've been able to create this season without their top guys in the lineup. Right now, the Giants' leading scorer was Misha Volachowski in goals, with 14 goals, and after him, a couple guys have 10. You got 10 with Olsen, 10 with Tomic, 10 with Oreskovic. So those are your leading guys, 14, 10, 10, and 10. And then I'm talking about on the other side, Hurlburt had his 36th, and Tommy Lafreniere is 30, and Nathan Bame is 30. And those are two NHL draft picks and one soon-to-be first-round pick in Hurlburt this year. You can't compete with that offensively, right? So that's the kind of stuff that it's really been a struggle for the Giants in terms of that. But it was great to see them break it. 1-1 is good. If they can go 1-1, next weekend's three games with the Family Day game. So if you can, you know, somehow go 2-1, that would be huge. I just think for the group to get out of that, you know, they're looking at the numbers and saying, oh, it'd been, you know, 6-7, whatever it was in a row. And then to end it, regardless of what happened Saturday, they ended that losing streak. That was massive, massive, massive.
Yeah, and they did well on Saturday after the first period. I mean, you trail 4-0, it's game over, basically. But, yeah, I mean, they competed after that. And the Blazers, some would say, well, maybe weren't pushing as hard once they were up 4-0. But still, yeah, Hurlburt, 36. Bame, 30. Keller scored his 23rd. I mean, the list goes on with this team, as you talked about. So, and you're trying to hold the glue together. Someone was asking me the other night about why Vancouver's in their end so much. Well, I mean, Ryan Lynn, among other things, when he's on the ice for 30 minutes, basically, the puck's in the other end a lot. Or you break out of your own end a lot. It's not as scrambly. And then if you have Mathis Preston in the other end, too, playing 25 minutes a night, I mean, you could do the math. It's they're challenged. And then lob Tittleback in the middle. I hear Tittleback may be back next week.
Yeah, I think he hopes to be, but I think we don't know. We won't know, obviously, until closer to, but yeah, he's been week to week. I would agree. I think he's a little closer. Like, I don't think Lynn and Preston are eyeing the prospects game as their return, whereas he's hoping it's next week. We don't know at this time.
I saw Ryan Lynn and had a brief chat with him in the washroom, waiting in line, of all things, at the LEC. There's some inside information.
Just like everyone else.
Yeah, we're waiting in line. I mean, Ryan, okay, well, waiting our turn. So, that said, what a nice guy. My God, is there a nicer guy around? Give me your top five list of nice guys you've met.
Oh, but now I can't go five. There's more than five.
I know.
You can't do this to me.
Okay. Okay. Well, I thought five would be enough.
Can I say Lynn is up there? Like, Lynn is one of the nicest young men and very mature. Like, absolutely. There's no doubt about that. He would be in my top three for sure.
Yeah. And you played it beautifully when you said he's up there. So you don't have to, and I'm going back over your 3 years, veteran broadcaster too, of just,
you're three year
nice tie. You know, it doesn't have to be everybody, but, Lynn is there and boy, he's just so nice when I've talked to him.
Yeah, no, he is. I thought you meant like this year to single it, because then if I'm saying five, I'm forgetting other people. And yeah, then,
no, it's just like throw a few names at me of the nice guys. And I know we would miss people. That's cool. But you're all-time nice guy list in the dub.
I mean, amongst Giants in my time here, it's funny because the tougher guys are always the nicer guys.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, someone like Jackson Polinchuk is new, but he has so far been super great with me. And actually, you know what? Colton Alain has been or was
really nice
one
guy.
Definitely one of the nicest guys that I've dealt with. There's
not to leave people out. So to put you on the spot that way, but I mean, yeah, just through the years, like I can go, oh, wasn't this guy nice? Wasn't that guy? Brendan Gallagher was so nice. Evander Kane, when he was here, was so nice. And on, and I'm always a goalie guy. So Burke Hood was great. And Kelton Pine is very nice.
Yeah, I find it's always the most personable off-ice guys are always, you know, those depth role players usually, and then the goalies. Yeah. I love goalies not only because they're nice, they're interesting. And that can be said about Hood and Pine for sure. Brett Merwald, when he was here, was fabulous to deal with. Matthew Hutchison was a great, great kid.
Not to leave guys off, but through the years, wonderful. I just dropped that on you when I thought about it, about Lynn and I, and just chatting and going, what a great kid. And, I have interviewed him with the Giants for the Giants show. And I like one day I can look back. I interviewed Ryan Lynn when this guy's, winning a Norris or a Stanley Cup or something. By the way, real quick, before I let you run and I'll briefly talk about the games coming up, but the Chorney Carson Olsen fight, which came midway through the third period. I did not see how it started, and Chorney got thumped, but that was also a 16-year-old Chorney against a 19-year-old Olsen. Well, if I'm Olsen and I get challenged by the 16-year-old, I don't have to go, but okay. Like, literally, you asked for it. But did you see how it started? And I just thought that would be quite frowned upon with a 19-year-old teeing off on him as well.
Yeah, you know what, I'll be honest. They were chatting in the corner in the Kamloops zone just before it started, so there was a bit of a conversation. Bill had mentioned there was a challenge earlier in the game that I hadn't seen, but I do think they were yapping at each other throughout the game. They're both Saskatchewan kids. I don't think they've ever played against each other, because as you said, it's a three-year gap.
Yeah.
A 19-year-old and a 16-year-old. Right. They played in the same U18 league, but at different times. They are from close together. Warman and Nipawin are kind of, you know, a couple hours apart. They're maybe familiar a little bit with one another, yeah. Both being Saskatchewan kids. But I think it was just frustration.
Yeah.
Right? It was just...
Well, there's leadership. If Chorney's going to go, yeah. I'll take the 19-year-old on.
Similar
size.
Well, someone do something.
Yeah. Like similar size. I haven't checked the notes. It wasn't like he towered over him, but
The 19-year-old Olsen isn't big.
Yeah.
I think he's only listed 6 feet, but... still a three-year age gap.
You know who you're fighting, and by the time I'm smoking them, I would have let up, frankly. And I'm not even coming hard on Carson Olsen, because it's a fight to fight. But once I really started to thump him, I didn't need to, did I need to be the guy on top at the end? Did I need to throw those last two or three? Wherever I could have let up on the kid if I wanted to. So, I'm a long ways away from the fights, as you know, except for you and Bill. Coming up this week, Nathan, as you say, three games in 4 days, if I have it right.
Yeah.
The G-Men. Yeah. So you got Friday, here comes Penticton, Saturday, Kelowna, and then Monday, the 2 o'clock game against Seattle. Just your quick thoughts of 3-3. Four.
So Kelowna is in Kelowna, so the Giants are on the road this Saturday. Friday, though, yes, Penticton visits. That's a real good team. That's going to be a tough one. They're just very old, very veteran, very structured. We've seen that before. There's a reason they're leading the BC Division. Saturday in Kelowna, again, good team, Memorial Cup host. This BC Division, it's a gauntlet this year. It's really, really, really strong. Then you get the Sunday off, Monday, the family day matinee, and I'm circling that. That's Cameron Schmidt's return to Langley Event Center.
Right.
It's going to be a ton of fun. Ton of fun. So that's a 2 o'clock. Remember, 2 o'clock on the Monday. And then just a reminder, the WHL prospects game is that Wednesday. And I do want to remind all fans that that's the top draft eligible prospects. So the Hurlburts, who's a 10th amongst North American skaters by NHL Central Scouting on the midterms, Daxon Rudolph is 6th, Carson Carls is 3rd amongst a whole lot of other players, the Ruck twins from BC, Lynn and Preston hoping to play, we don't know yet. But also keep an ear out, be on the lookout for a big announcement to do with the WHL prospects game coming out on Tuesday. There's going to be some cool stuff happening, an announcement on Tuesday morning related to the prospects game. And a reminder, the prospects game is the next week, February 18th at Langley Event Center.
I got you, buddy. Well, it's February 8th now. Suddenly that's only 10 days away. What the?
Yeah.
Hey, pal, enjoy the odd sunny day here and there. Appreciate it. And we'll see you on Friday night.
Yes. Thank you. We'll see you then, Brooke.
Nathan Canner, the play-by-play voice of your Vancouver Giants. And again, Friday night, it's been Penticton. Saturday, Giants in Kelowna. Then Monday, it's always a big crowd and a lot of fun, frankly, on Family Day. You looking for something to do on Family Day? 2 o'clock start, Family Day. And Cameron Schmidt and the T-Birds from Seattle will invade the LEC. Get your tickets, VancouverGiants.com/tickets. Bill Wilms is coming up next, the man, the myth, the legend. As we continue, White Spot Vancouver Giants this week, right here on the Mighty 650 Sportsnet Radio Network.
Ho, ho, ho.
This is Vancouver Giants this week on Sportsnet 650. Now, Brooke Ward.
Part two of two, hockey fans. It is indeed White Spot Vancouver Giants this week presentation. Of White Spot at Sportsnet 650. And I do appreciate you being with us here tonight on Monday, February 9th, right after the Super Bowl from yesterday. Go Seahawks! If you told me at the beginning of the year, In fact, midway through the season, when people were starting to say, you know what, Seattle, the Seahawks look like they're a contender, I was thinking, well, they're a contender, but they're not a Super Bowl threat. And lo and behold, they turned out to be not only a contender and a threat, but the Super Bowl champions. So congrats to everyone down Highway 99 and ultimately the I-5 into Seattle, wherever you are, if you're a Vancouver or make it. I want to say a Vancouver Seahawk. It feels like it. If you're a Seattle Seahawk fan, congratulations. You're probably still feeling the hangover. Bill Wilms now with us, the pride, the veteran, the cagey veteran, as they like to say, of the staff, Vancouver Giants broadcast crew, who also on 80s night, it was 1980s night on Saturday when Kamloops hit town, and people were dressed up in the 1980s. Bill, I thought you looked perfect. I don't know if you changed your wardrobe at all.
Yeah, no, I couldn't do much dressing up, obviously. And you know what? I had to dig back a little bit into into my 80s, to be honest with you. You know how long ago that was.
The 1980s, though, right? Not the 1880s?
Yeah, the 1980s.
Thank you, the
1980s. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What were you doing in the 1980s? Yeah, give me that.
Well, I was doing two things, okay? I was doing basically two things, okay? I was teaching school. That was one thing. And then I also had the Richmond Sockeye junior team, and that was my last year, was 86. The year after that, Orland Kurtenbeck took over the team and new ownership, and they won the Centennial Cup. Started buying players and, you know, changed the whole dynamics of junior hockey. But you know what? When I looked at some of my 80s stuff, I thought, wait a minute, that was the year I took my youngest son to a Michael Jackson concert. Place at the time, wasn't it?
Okay, either that or BC Place. I can't even remember. BC Place. Yeah.
The bigger. I didn't know much about sound system music-wise, but I do remember going. And he was obviously a young kid. He's however many years ago. I loved the music by Heart. Weren't they pretty big around that time?
Heart, Vancouver, shall we say, Vancouver band, but played out of Seattle. So it was, or the Seattle band out of there's a Vancouver hook in there somehow. But yeah, Heart was great. Nancy Wilson and all that, they were great.
Yeah. I love that.
Barracuda.
I remember Tina Turner. I remember one of the big songs she had at that time was, I think it was called What's Love Got to Do With It. Remember that?
Big in the 80s, yep.
You know what I would, you know, Dan Russell knew this better than I did. We often played games when we were driving and doing hockey games. He would give me... you know, he would play some music on his, on his playlist, and I would try to guess the band. And I often, you know, Brooke, I always, and I mean always, recognized the song, but I didn't always know who played it, who sang it. Time After Time, I think I remember that in the 80s.
Cyndi Lauper?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's a great game. We should do this for 20 minutes. You just play Name That Band. Because when you're getting older, I found anyway, is when you're younger, when I was in my heyday, I knew every band, like I know who's playing that song and all that. And then eventually it's like, I don't know, nor do I care who's playing the song. I just like the song. When you stop knowing who's singing the song, Bill, I thought, oh, that's a new phase of life.
Yeah. You see, and I didn't know albums and you know, but I would know the sound of the singer. And I will say this. This is one of the funniest things that Dan Russell always told me. He said, Bill, my dad would have no clue on any of the answers of the playing, you know, who sings it, but you know too many of them. He said it was crazy. Yeah.
You're hanging around still. You're hanging around with young kids back then in the 80s.
Yeah,
still,
I don't know.
All the players.
You'd hear that music.
You'd hear it in the locker room.
Yeah.
Or the dressing room, as they call it in. I remember when I was with the Vancouver Canadians, I'd call it a locker room, and one of the players came out and said, or no, I called it the dressing room, and a player came out to me and said, why do you do that? There's nobody dressing in here. And I thought, well, yes, actually you are, but it's the locker room in baseball, and it was the dressing room in hockey.
And you know what, Brooke? I mean, there again, just tying it in with the Giants. I mean, the theme nights have been so good. Country night, the 80s, and... I did a rough check, and I think they had over 8,000 people at the LEC on those two promotional nights. And you know, Dale Sipe and the rest of the Giants do such a great job on those particular nights. But boy, I'll tell you, the success on the ice, unfortunately, obviously, we've talked about that at great length, hasn't been, you know, quite as successful. But yeah, no, those were great times, and I thought you were maybe the best dressed 80 guy that I saw.
Well, man, I had a yellow shirt on with my sleeves pushed up like Crockett and Tubbs on Miami Vice, and I had my fluorescent green tank top on. I was killing, and a headband. I put a Mike Greeno headband on. The funniest story, Bill, was I see Ron Toigo in the office before the game. Hi, Ron. How you doing? Everyone's working for the weekend, Ron. That was a song by Loverboy. And I'm dressed up like Mike Greeno of Loverboy, basically. And Ron goes, oh, yeah, and walks by me. And then later he saw somebody else dressed up and said to that person, oh, now I know why Brooke was wearing that wardrobe.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
he thought I was just wearing that wardrobe to the game.
That
was my outfit. Yeah. Like, oh, what's with that? He's not very well dressed for the PA guy. By the way, Bill, he talks about in the 80s with the Richmond Sockeyes. In mid-80s, I was right in the middle, 52 games coach, 39-13 record, and a .750 winning percentage. That was, as far as I know, your last year with the Sockeyes, Bill, before Orland came along. So
yeah,
nice
yeah,
one.
Exactly.
In the Tina Turner phase and Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah, exactly. Right during that. And you know what? Once you took a little different – you know, if you will, philosophy about how you're going to build your team and you're going to spend a little bit more money, then you knew that this was possible. And I remember Orland Kurtbeck, and I forget the ownership. I think it was a roofing company, but nonetheless, they got some players from the Western Hockey League paid for, you know, I mean, in one case, I think they paid for one guy's pilot's license, one of the players. So, you know, there was some money spent, and I wasn't surprised. And that was a big win, boy, when they won that Centennial Cup in 87, best junior A hockey in Canada. That was very, very impressive. And no, it was a good time for me. And you know, it was my full time job that was that you know, teaching. I was able to get out of it. I think it was 89 and do my golf business a little bit more full time and broadcast a little bit more full time too.
Back in the 80s, Bill Wilms, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, coming up on this Friday when Penticton's in town, just for people, CMHA Hockey Talk game. So we'll be talking about that as well. The prospect games on Wednesday of next week. Be a superhero night, Bill. Now, you got to dress up for that. A Kelowna in town on March the 8th. I don't know what you're going to do. So there's a guy in the crowd the other night dressed up in full Hulk Hogan 80s gear. Full Hulk Hogan wig. I hope it was a wig. But be a superhero night. And then fan appreciation night on March 21st when Kamloops comes down. So I don't know what I'm going to do on superhero night. I got to think of something. But because you're my superhero, Bill. How I could dress up like you.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah. By the way, I give props too to Doug Osborne. He's one of the volunteers for Vancouver Giants. He looks so good. I had to take a picture of him. Actually, I think I got you in my saved photos too. Jeez. What you look like, but
well,
yeah, no, it's such a great job that they do in promoting these nights. And again, like I say, I think best of all is the fans really loving it because they are showing up.
Yeah, and they played 80s music all night long, and the giveaways, everything was 80s themed and whatnot and all that. So. Everything except the price of a ticket was 80s, Bill, because that would have been like $5 or something like that way back when, and the hot dog would have been 50 cents. So other than that, it was turn back the clock night to the 80s. Turning back the clock, Giants will look to do that as they build for the future, try and turn back the clock to the glory days of the early 2000s, I would suggest, Bill. Are they on target for doing that? What do you see of the evolution of this hockey club that is at the bottom of the standings right now?
Yeah, well, obviously, and there's a battle to stay out of the basement now. Wenatchee 43 points, Seattle 43, Vancouver 41. So, you know, the playoffs aren't completely settled as far as who's in there. And there's like, you know, we say, until you're mathematically eliminated, you're still got that in mind. But, I mean, they got a lesson. They were taught a lesson on Saturday when Kamloops came in. They're a pretty good hockey team. 2 points out of third and, remember, they finished 10th last year, missed the playoffs now 2 years in a row. But, Brooke, they came in with 3 30-goal scorers, 2 20-goal scorers, and plus a couple at 13 and 11. And what the Vancouver Giants were able to throw at them were basically, you know, I think no 30-goal scorers, obviously no 20, one 14-goal scorer. So, you know, you're behind the eight ball when you're doing that. And we know that. We've talked about that ad nauseum, that they're out of bullets. They just don't have a whole lot. And, you know, Brooke, I want to talk about something I don't think we've talked about before. When you talk about proactive and reactive players. I mean, you know, you're making plays all over the ice in hockey, which are, you know, both on offense and defense, that are you making the other guy do what you want him to do, or he's making you do what he wants you to do. Being proactive, I'll give you an example. And these are the two guys that are missing. You know, Ryan Lynn on defense, his skating is so good. He forces guys into places where they don't want to go. That's what he does so well. He's taken away their options. In fact, he's so good at making the player against him with the puck do exactly what he doesn't want to do, exactly what Ryan wants him to do. Sometimes the play just dies with him. And, you know, when I look at Mathis Preston on offense, same thing. When he has the puck, he's making the other guy do things that Preston wants him to do so he can create offense and make plays, you know, or shoot the puck or whatever. And, you know, you're proactive. Those are two guys that are extremely proactive. And if you're not doing that, making the other guy do what you want him to do on defense or on offense, you're becoming a very reactive team. And all you can do is respond strictly. You can just basically, most of the time, you're going to have problems. And Kamloops came in here and played a terrific hockey game. And I had their way. And it was all because of, you know, what they were doing. They played simple hockey. They moved their feet. They kept moving the puck. They kept making plays. They kept creating offense. They get 50 shots on goal, 49 shots on goal. Yeah, and it was a perfect example, I thought, of the different styles of play and how important, how valuable the two guys that I just talked about are when they're in the lineup. Otherwise, I think in a game like against Kamloops, the other game, the last game they played, they're strictly responding. And, you know, you go into a game and just react, rather than proactive, you're going to get, you know, goals scored on you a lot. And it's been tough, but... It was good to see. And I, again, you know, whether you're playing a first place team like Penticton coming up on the weekend, or you played Kelowna, or you're playing Kamloops, you're seeing the way it's got to be played.
Yeah. Someone was asking me on Saturday night just about the Giants in particular, who are spending a lot of time in their own end. And why did I, thought I said, well, among other things was the Lynn and the Mathis Preston factor of those guys out of the lineup. Lynn plays half the game. And when he does, the puck is usually in the other end. And Preston plays 20 minutes, 23 minutes, and the puck is, you know, if it's not in the other end, it's going to get in the other end. So you're going to, right there, those two guys alone, Bill, would make, certainly to this hockey club, such a difference.
Well, yeah, no, exactly. And like I say, when they're playing, the good teams that are scoring 8-9 goals on you, or Kamloops, you know, I mean, 4-0 in the first period, that's all about the Giants in their own zone, and even in the offensive zone, for that matter, all over the ice, they're reacting, they're not being proactive. Mm-hmm. But, okay, so you let me look at the two games, you know, Red Deer and Spokane, really quickly, because, you know, I don't think it was a game plan, but they both turned out exactly the way you had to from a Vancouver Giants standpoint, if you were getting any chance to win those two games. All right, period one, both nights against Red Deer and Spokane. Just follow me here for a second. Kelton Pine, period one against Red Deer, 16 for 16. Period one, 1,000%. Period one against Spokane the next night, he was 19 for 20. Period one. And it's 1-0 for Spokane. After two periods, it's tied. 1-1 against Red Deer, it's tied 1-1 against Spokane. Perfect. You're in a position to win after two periods. That's what you have to do with this team. Remember, with the Giants now, it's going to be a low-scoring game. If they've got any chance to win, it's going to have to be two goals or less. Period three, and against Red Deer, all right, the Rebels get a power play goal that Vancouver loses 2-1. Against Spokane, Vancouver finds a way to take a 2-1 lead and then get a 3-1 empty net goal, and they get the win. Now, against Kamloops, they come in here. They know what's happening in the first period. They know how Giants are hanging on in period number one, and they fired 23 shots, and Pine makes 19 saves. He couldn't hold the fort. He couldn't, you know, and you're down 4-0 after two periods, and basically it was game, set, match. So that's where I think the Giants are at right now. They have to play that kind of way to win a low-scoring game. The goaltender has to be the best player, period one. You have to be in a position to win the game after period two. And then somehow you got to grind it out in period three. Mm-hmm. And they got a win against Spokane. They lost by one goal to Red Deer and got thumped pretty badly by Kamloops on Saturday night. And, you know, again, that's not by design. I don't think that's the way they plan on playing, but that's the way the game generally evolves with, you know, again, the lack of offense that's in the lineup.
Yeah, and to repeat what Bill just had said, too, in the Red Deer game, 16 shots on goal in the first period, 16-6, I think, in Red Deer's favor. The 20 shots on goal in the first period in the Spokane game on Friday, and 23 shots on Kelton Pine on Saturday as well, first period. So teams are jumping on the Giants early, Bill. I would think that's part of their game plan.
100%. You nailed it. I mean, that you have to expect that. And that's again, because you're going to force... You're going to force the Giants to really just constantly be reacting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you start making mistakes. And as I say, not to belabor the point I made, but you have a proactive team will get the Vancouver Giants doing things that that Kamloops wants them to do.
Exactly.
You're fighting an uphill battle, but mm-hmm. you know the fans are hanging in there, and I think that's. I think that's a giant thing. I think it's great.
You talked about anticipation, too, Bill, when we were talking about Preston and talking about Ryan Lynn. I just wanted to know if you'd expand on that to educate some people, too, of the guys who sort of on Lynn's front, right? Like you said, making players do when they have the puck coming in on him, basically making them do what he wants them to do.
Exactly.
And that's anticipation to me, and that's knowing what's in the other guys. The guy will probably want to do this, and so I'll be a step ahead of him.
Yeah, and that's why he is going to be the high draft pick that he is, because it's not so much always what you can do yourself. It's what you can keep the other guy from doing.
Yeah.
And that's where Ryan Lynn is so, you know, obviously that's one of his biggest strengths. And I don't even know, you know, when he has the puck, I can't say that Ryan Lynn all the time makes the other guy do what the other guy doesn't want to do. When Lynn has the puck coming out of his own zone, I'm sure there's a lot of that. But his biggest strength is what he does defensively, obviously. And in Preston, the same case. I mean, not just take it to the other end of the ice. Preston's a guy that, again, to just make that point, like you're reinforcing, Mathis Preston offensively can make the defensive guy, can make the other guy, whoever the other guy is, wherever he is on the ice, he can make the other guy do what Preston wants him to do. You know, Cameron Schmidt, I think I mentioned this once before to you, and I'll do it real quick. You know, when he went against any hockey player and the player's got 3 points on the ice, he's got 2 legs and 2 feet on the ice and a stick. So it's a triangle, right? And what he would often do is he'd make a play to get that player, that guy, whoever he is, whether it's a forward defense, but in his case, mostly defense, he'd make him cross his legs. Make his right leg go over the left. And then he'd exploit that space that the crossover created. And he'd make a play. That's just making the guy do what you want him to do. And honestly, one more last time, the fact that these two guys are out of the lineup is hurting big time. Now, there's some guys there that can still do it, you know, in this lineup. But Brooke, when your leading scorer's got, what, 14 goals, 15 goals that's in the lineup right now?
Yeah.
There's not a lot of that happening.
By the way, I've liked Folatoski since they got him.
Oh,
you know, 20-year-old with some leadership, too. And he's the guy sitting on 14 goals, too. But I've quite liked him. I just wanted your thoughts.
Yeah. Oh, very much so. But he's never had this role.
Yeah.
I mean, with Medicine Hat, he wasn't a goal scorer. He wasn't projected to be. He was a defensive forward. That line he was on in Medicine Hat. And when we're talking Medicine Hat, we're talking WHL champs. We're not just talking another, you know, Western Hockey League team. They were the best in the whole league. So he was a key guy on that hockey cup, but more from a defensive standpoint. And sometimes you score goals by just being in the, you know, being by absorbing offense when you're playing for a really, really good team. I think he's done a nice job. And,
yeah.
And so is Oreskovic. These guys have been thrust into that spot now of being the guys to create that, you know, that proactive plays.
Yeah. And that Dominic Kelly, the GM, he got Volatoski as an example because he saw, I need some 20-year-old presence here, too, after all the deals he made. So bring him in. And he was a role player at the time, and his role has changed, as can happen. This week, Bill, Giants Friday host Penticton in Kelowna against Ty Haliburton on Saturday. And then Monday next week, the 2 o'clock game on Family Day, Cameron Schmidt comes back with Seattle. That will be interesting.
I'm a little surprised at where they are still in the standings, to be honest with you. They're 10th, they're 43 points. They're, you know, the last playoff spot is 51 at this is 54 at this point. So, and they've got a couple games at hand, but nonetheless, I mean, him playing in Seattle, that move was made primarily because, you know, Braden Coutts was not going to be back next year in all likelihood. He got traded to Prince Albert, and he wasn't going to be back. That's a Vancouver Canuck pick, right? And so they said, instead of getting nobody back next year of that ilk, let's get Cameron Schmidt, because in all likelihood, you can count on him and being back in the Western Hockey League next year. So that trade was made for that reason. But I honestly thought that even with the moves that they made, that would be enough to get him into the playoffs. So it doesn't look like it is, but, yeah, that's after the weekend. That's the opponent. That's on a Monday, right?
Yes, it is. A 2 o'clock game. How weird will it be to see Cam Schmidt, though, back in Vancouver in a different jersey?
Yeah. Well, I'd like Ty Haliburton in a different jersey. But, you know, again, Mazda and Leslie, you get used to that and you go with, you know, with what you got. And the thing that Parker Burgess has said that, you know, you still, I've asked him, how do you defend, you know, these top-end guys like Hurlburt for Kamloops and now Schmidt, you know, for Seattle, is just know when he's on the ice. In other words, no particular matchups, but whoever he sends on the ice, Vancouver coach Burgess, that be aware that if you're on that Cameron Schmidt is on there, and try your darnest to keep him, limit his damage. You're not going to keep him off the board. I can pretty much be sure of that, but limit what he's going to do.
Yeah. Going into the weekend, by the way, Schmidt has one goal in his last six, so that's quiet for him, but 7 goals, 8 assists, 15 points in 13 games with Seattle. So those numbers are lower than he was experiencing in Vancouver as well. So it will be very interesting to see him.
I saw that, and I wondered about that. And you know what? If he's out of sorts, if he's a little bit moody, you never know.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it, my brother. We'll see you on Friday.
Okay, bud.
I'll be in my 80s gear again just because I looked so good the other night. I'm going to rock that
green
T-shirt.
I got a picture to prove it.
Oh, man.
I might post it.
Man. See you, pal.
See ya. Bye.
The great Bill Wilms, ladies and gentlemen. Glad you taken time out of your night to join us here in White Spot Vancouver Giants this week. On the Mighty 650, the Sportsnet Radio Network, you talk about the injured guys, by the way. If you want to look at the Giants just from a scoring standpoint, their regular season scoring with the G-Men, Ryan Lynn's their leading scorer, and he's only played 42 games. So he's got 50 points in those 42. He's out. Mathis Preston is second on the team in scoring. You combine him both with Spokane and Vancouver. 38 games played on the season, 35 points. That's second in scoring for the Giants. And then third on scoring for the G-Men right now is the 20-year-old Bill and I talked about, Misha Volatovsky, who in 46 games, Vancouver and Moose Jaw combined, has 29 points. And then you're Jacob Oreskovich with 29 points in 52 hockey games. Brett Olson's got 27 in 52. You're starting to go down the list. I mean, your top guys, Lynn, Mathis, the guys who really do the damage for your hockey club, they're on the shelf. Only 2 games out of Mathis Preston so far before the lower body injury, but he had a goal and 2 assists and a game winner in overtime in the first game he played for Vancouver. And that's what, and Volatoski, as mentioned with Bill moments ago, with the Giants, he's played in 10 games, been very effective, has 3 goals and a helper, and has been a very effective 20-year-old with Vancouver. But you go down the list and some key guys out of the lineup, and I want to lob Adam Tittle back at you, too. He's out with injury, due back soon, but 35 games played. He's a 9-goal scorer. I mean, he could be sneaking up to the, you know, 15, 20-goal mark if Tittle back wasn't out. So those are some key guys around Vancouver. And right now it is try to have Burkhood and Kelton Pyne, like, slam the door shut on the barn and keep it that way for 20 minutes and then try and wear down the other team as you go through the final 40. And that's what the Giants are trying to do, and other teams are trying to jump on them early because they know the game plan. Anyway, on Friday night, we'll do it again. Penticton V's are in town for the Friday night game. Get your tickets, VancouverGiants.com/tickets. That's your next home game for the G-Men, who will also play in Kelowna on Saturday. I think I said earlier, 3-3. It's 3-4 for the Giants. They're and then on Monday afternoon, 2 o'clock at home. Again, Cameron Schmidt and the Seattle T-Birds hit town for the family day game. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I'm Brooke Ward. For Jack the Giant, my good buddy.
Ho, ho, ho.
We'll talk to you again soon. This is Sportsnet 650.